This is Ifeoma Ngaza, Affiliate Task Force Chair for the presiding at the meeting of July 10, 2008. Dina, could I get you to announce the persons and stations present for the meeting?
Yes. Present are Chandra Hopman. Alan Minsky asked to be excused. Teresa Allen will be a little late. Afia Nguanza, Rip Robbins, Ursula Rudenberg, Deb Shafter, Sean Rhodes, and Dina Colbert.
This is Teresa Allen. I am on the call, and I will be taking minutes.
All right.
Thank you. And thank you, Dina, for getting us started.
Thank you,
I'll email what I have to you, Teresa.
Thank you.
Okay. The agenda has been approved. If we could have the agenda read for those who may be listening.
There was a roll call. There was a presentation. There was no presentation. I'm sorry. There was an approval of the agenda. There was approval of the 6:12 minutes with one correction. We were in the middle of a report by the chair, Afia Nguanza. There will be an affiliate coordinator's report. There will be three subcommittee reports, the affiliate director eligibility role, the affiliate definition, and the fundraising subcommittee. And we will have a discussion at the role of the affiliates at the Grassroots Radio Conference. We'll have a discussion of the letter that was sent to the affiliate members by the ED, and whether we need to prepare ourselves for a meeting in August with the ED, and we need to set the next meeting and the agenda.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I believe item number 10 on the agenda is to set the next meeting and agenda.
That's correct. I just recognized it myself when as it was being read. So okay, so proceeding with my report, I'll just to recap momentarily. The affairs of the PNB at this point are over the past 2 months have been really horrendous. Back in May, the PNB, in response to the ongoing claim that essentially that Pacifica is nigh on to the being on the verge of bankruptcy, the PNB decided that the bylaws prescribed June meeting should be held in July. And Sherry Gendelman, the chair of the PNB, established a task force which it began immediately to do the research and make the contacts necessary to identify possible sites and to, as recommended by the CFO, to keep the cost of the meeting, including airfare, at $20,000 or less. With great diligence, Rob Robinson and Grace Aaron took the lead on doing the research and making the necessary contacts and did, in fact, obtain information that was would allow the PNB to have its summer meeting for $20,000 or less, most specifically using Howard University as the meeting site and requiring all PNB members to obtain airline reservations not less than 21 days prior to the meeting, and other PNV members who could take less expensive forms of transportation would do so, and any PNV members who were able and willing to purchase their own transportation as a contribution to Pacifica. And the majority of the PNV made a commitment to do that. However, there is operating in the PNV a minority functioning contrary to the bylaws as if it were an executive committee. And as a result of that, and along with possible other reasons, but we believe, or I believe as a result of that, the CFO did not honor the resolution passed on June 13th by the PNB directing that the PNB summer meeting be held July 25th in Washington, D.C. at Howard University. And the two dates from which the choices was made was July 17th and July 25th. Those dates were the dates that after I consulted with the chair of the PNB as the convener of the task force as to what dates should be reserved and to make sure that there was no conflict with already planned dates, namely the coverage of the political party conventions, then the dates of July 17th and 25th were left, and the researchers for the task force worked using those dates. The CFO failed and refused to schedule to contact the school at the outset. Let me back up. The school, the chair of the WPFW LSB was contacted, and there was some question locally about the possible date. The chair contacted, the LSB chair contacted the PNB chair, as I understand it, and was told to essentially not cooperate with the task force and the task force, the local task force representative. And without notice to us from either the local LSB chair or the national PNB chair, we kept waiting for a response as it relates to Howard University as a potential site while efforts were going on to locate other sites. When we discovered this conduct, then we directly contacted Howard University directly. We followed through after the June 13th resolution and contacted Howard University again to make sure that the CFO was executing or implementing the board's directive. We found that he was not, and I, on behalf of the task force, raised questions with him about that. He then assigned staff to query the Howard University schedulers and to not to go beyond that as best we can tell, on the theory that that there were inadequate funds to pay for such a meeting, despite the fact that in May he had said that, based on his forecasting, $20,000 would be available for the meeting. The task force, or members of the task force, have written a letter of protest to the chair of the PMB and to the ED, asking that they direct the CFO to comply with the PMB order and directive. They have not responded, and on the last PMB meeting, the CFO was put forward to again give as his reason for failing and refusing to comply with PMB directives that there were inadequate funds. That against the backdrop of having settled with questionable authority a major lawsuits for major amounts of money, one.
He was going towards the garage.
And two.
He was going towards the garage, Stephanie. Oh, the cat was coming down the driveway going.
Madam Chair,
yes.
I think Chandra Hopman needs to be aware that she needs to put her phone on mute by with a pound one.
Okay, I guess you can. In addition to that, members of the task force had members of the PMB have consistently and repeatedly requested financial information from the CFO and comprehensible as well as comprehensive information from the CFO, got some information from the CFO which was usable for doing at least a preliminary assessment of the financial status of various radio stations and of the network generally. Our reading of the funds in the network placed them, based on the information provided by the CFO, at approximately $2.1 million surplus.
Say that. Repeat that sentence one more time again, Madam Chair.
That the assessment of members of the task force, based on information provided by the CFO, is that there are within the control of the foundation funds of approximately $2.1 million. In which instance, which is not to say, again, that there are not financial problems, and it's not to say that there aren't stations, WBAI and the Los Angeles station. That's K, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It's not to say that there aren't difficulties, financial difficulties, with those stations, but it is to say that we contend that there are adequate resources available for the board to do its job. That this quasi-executive committee, which is composed of Sherry Gendelman, Mike Martin, Lonnie Hicks, Nicole Sawaya, and to some degree, Brian Tiekert.
Is Jack Van Aken on that committee too?
Um, My reading is that he is more tangentially involved. But I would say generally yes. I haven't, in terms of the last, and I've started dialing into the National Finance Committee calls as well as the PMB calls.
Well, bless your heart, Madam Chair.
So that to try to get some sense of continuity, because it's really in the National Finance Committee calls, and to the extent that anybody else can listen to the stream, I do urge it, that the where the decisions are being made and then being essentially announced at the PMB meeting. So, as you can see, even though the majority recognizes the importance of governance and the necessity for the board to meet in person to address the issues, as I put it at the last PMB meeting, what bills, if any, will get paid in what order, and to demand the presentation of a financial recovery plan, which is not implemented unless and until the PMB approves it. Secondly, that there is a tied to that a listenership or programmatic assessment and plan, development plan, which is likely to produce more listeners and therefore generate more income. And thirdly, better oversight and effectiveness on the part of the governance arm, that there are three legs to this stool, and in order for it to stabilize, they all have to be working, and it can't be just a handful of people deciding what they think is best and then ramming that down the throats of the rest of the people, especially the majority. So at this point, one proposal which seems to be about to be imposed despite the bylaws is, first of all, that not only will we not have a June equivalent meeting and on July the weekend of July 25th, as resolved by the PMB, but that there may not actually be, while there are, there is talk of a September meeting, that such a September meeting may well wind up, again, in violation of the bylaws, be held by video teleconferencing. And there are, the chair of the PMB has asked people, and they are, investigating the possibilities and the costs and such of doing video teleconferencing as opposed to an other in-person meeting. So there's a great deal of frustration, a great deal of anger with the direction, the manner and direction in which matters are being handled at this point, and I am in the process of preparing an open letter to the LSBs and affiliates to talk about, essentially, to make sure that everybody knows exactly what's going on, to invite people to be more active. And the affiliates in particular to talk about how we are being impacted by what I come to view as this slash and cut and burn approach that the minority of the board has taken and promoted. I would point out also there was a question about the legitimacy of the board deciding to have a meeting despite because of the alleged financial crisis. And from Foundation Council, and he affirmed the fact that it was legitimate for the board to decide that it could best meet the crisis by having an in-person meeting. And even in the face of that, the CFO still did not implement the board's directive, nor did the chair or the ED take steps to direct him to or to reprimand him for not having done so. So I'm anxious to to hear to answer any questions, I guess, first, and to come up with a better way of keeping you all informed of what's going on, assuming that what I have said to you is new information, and it really needs to be available to generally on a more contemporaneous basis with people responding. So if there are questions, I'll be glad to attempt to answer them at this point.
This is Deb Shaft. Do I also have something to add?
Please.
One of the aspects that's should be of particular interest to this committee is the fact that for those of us who are in Pacifica because of the possibilities of creating a world that we want, the affiliates are critical, absolutely critical. There is no way that Pacifica can buy or maintain all those stations in all those locations, and we feel it's, those of us who feel like I do, it is critical that the affiliates program be made and strengthened. While if you are only interested in the home office and five stations, the importance of the affiliates program seems to fade into the background, and I think that means we have to struggle all the harder and faster to make sure it stays high on the list.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I absolutely agree.
It doesn't seem to be high on the list with this current administration.
No, I think that...
who believes that the affiliates shouldn't even be on the governing board, and that is very frightening to me because we fought long and hard to get them on the governing board.
Has that actually been verbalized? Or
that has been verbalized, yes.
It's in past minutes from the beginning because it was one of the requirements for bringing the affiliates back into Pacifica. It was a promise that was made.
No, I'm saying who said specifically that they didn't think affiliate directors should be on the board?
The executive director.
And when did she say that?
She said it. She's made that statement publicly, and I don't remember where, but she has said it or written it.
Well,
I'll
go on record on the stream as saying that that is an accurate characterization of statements that were made by the executive director, and. And I will say that definitely at a public meeting that was at the NFCB conference, at the affiliate meeting there, she said that Pacifica couldn't afford to pay for affiliate representatives, and that she was asking for help with that. and there were many witnesses to that. What I would say about the other statement is that I also agree with Chandra that it was said, and that that is exactly the gist of what was said. I don't know that we could actually say where that was said, but I was there and Chandra was there.
Chair, this is Sean in New York.
Okay.
Thank you for bringing this information out. This is the first I'm hearing of this, and I'm sure other people listening on the stream find it interesting, if not alarming and outrageous. This open letter that you want to write, I support that. If you need people to sign on it, sign on Twitter if you're simply writing it as the chair of this task force. However you want to, however, whatever approach you want to take is fine with me. But if you're looking for signatures, you can add mine to it. My ultimate question is, one of the ways that this decision, or this undecision, if you will, affects the task force is that it doesn't allow representatives to meet, with the rest of the PMB members. But outside of writing letters, what else can we do? What action do you think would be warranted?
I'm not sure. I think there are a couple things that come to my mind, and I would yield to people who have been involved longer than myself for history of effective action. But one thing that is clear is that Pacifica has a legal obligation to affiliates, the service of affiliates. And part of it is looking at our contracts and seeing whether or not those contracts are, in fact, being met. If they're failing, in what ways is it failing to meet the terms of the contract, and then to demand that it be addressed. I think that to have inadequate staff is a failure of satisfaction of the contract. I think that to not participate in the various conferences and events and have our staff and representatives available at those events is a failure of the contract. It interferes with our ability to effectively to have optimal communication with one another, and it also fails to strengthen the program from which we are all beneficiaries, in that minimizes the ability to recruit and to strengthen the association as represented by the program. So that's the first thing that comes to my mind, predictably, as a lawyer. But I would invite other people to talk about their thinking and possible responses.
Thank you.
This is Teresa. I would like to respond. I guess what I think we need to do is I think we need to talk to the executive director sometime. We ought to have a meeting that's not streamed and talk to her. Because to me, the executive director is saying, we're in a financial bind. I'm asking the board of directors to pay their way if they can. That is not the same thing as saying, I don't want those people on my board. So I'd like to hear it from her own mouth that, you know, if that's what she thinks. I know that she has told everybody that there is like to be no travel. I mean, a real austerity situation because we really have to tighten our belt. And from talking to Mike Martin, whether you consider him an executive, part of it, some sort of inner sanctum executive group, I don't know, but there's a big disparity between what he just told me yesterday, which was he has been told specifically by the CFO that we are $700,000 in debt. And there's a big disparity between that statement and, oh, we happen to have an extra million, you know, hanging around. So,
quite a gap.
So I'd like to know, I guess we really, I guess some there's some at issue, there's some issue right now with information that our CFO is giving us, and I'd like to have a second opinion about our financial situation.
I don't know who
to believe.
See if this is Dina at some point. I'd like to get online.
Okay.
I think I'm finished.
Then go ahead, Dina.
I just want to say that while the other stations may be in debt, even though they took away the assistant, the affiliate program really is not in debt, and travel expenses to these conferences is in the approved budget of the monies that the affiliates bring in. So it's part of the job. In its entirety, it's not superfluous travel.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
So it's different than the stations, and I don't think that they can all be glommed together. They need to be separated out. If the affiliates are providing monies and the expectation is that they meet with their coordinator as part of the the contractual agreement, even though it's not in the contract, but because it's been done certainly since 2001 and before. We started it in Teresa, when did we start? 2000, 2001. Meeting with them at the grassroots conferences and NFCB. And Ursula has also been attending the media reform since its origins, which were, I think, 4 years ago. So we there's a history here. It's not suddenly we're asking for new travel expenses. That I can understand in a crunch. This is not new. This is part of the job description.
I would like to be on the stack all after Dina's finished.
Okay.
And then me, Teresa, again.
Okay.
And Deb Shafter, too.
Yes. Do you all remember your order?
Chandra first.
Okay.
Chandra, Teresa, Deb Shafter.
Okay.
What I wanted to say is one of the problems is that the CFO has never been transparent about the affiliate's budget. The CFO has created an affiliate's budget that is not done in consultation with the affiliate's coordinator and misrepresents, and in the past has reflected items in the affiliate's budget that have nothing to do with the affiliate's program. And now the affiliate's representatives on the Pacifica National Board, the cost of their expenses in terms of being participants in the Pacifica National Board are charged to the affiliate's program. This was never before done before this fiscal year. So there are a lot of issues in terms of the budget, and the reason why the CFO and the ED can make allegations that the affiliates program is running at a deficit is because they're not being transparent about the affiliates budget and hiding items in the affiliates budget that have nothing to do with the affiliates program.
Ben, what is your thinking about asking that the CFO also come to a meeting.
We've tried that before. We were not successful. We tried that last year. We could try again.
Not successful in his coming, or he came and it was a waste of time?
He didn't come. And he didn't provide... I'm sorry, Rip, why don't you answer that question?
Well, no, you're correct. Well, that's kind of correct. He did eventually come on. But what I think might be important in this is that, first of all, the CFO specified the expenses for us after many demands and after waiting many months for him to make this determination. And right now I'm starting to do that research into the manuals that we received with the CFO budget reports, and they're also electronic to share, although to me that's harder to research. But this task force received a breakout of what the expenses were according to the CFO, which, as we, earlier in this conversation, you've talked about the ED now coming up with new numbers. And in fact, what we can demonstrate and share right now is what the CFO presented in early 07, I believe it was. And that would show what he believed to be the expenses at that time, which are different than they are now. And I want to make a note to everybody that if you've seen this thing where the ED claims that there's like a $15,000 gap, well, just as an aside, you know, that's not very much money. I'm almost inclined to say, you know, if you only got to make $15,000 more somehow to shut them all up, you know, because the CFO has already been satisfied. We went through his numbers and found that there was a $50,000-plus surplus in the revenue versus cost. Now we have the ED saying, well, there's a $15,000 shortage. Really, $15,000 doesn't seem like a lot. So just keep that in mind about this.
I'm sorry. I'm next on the back.
We're out of order. I'm sorry.
I apologize. The point of information, I got carried away. I apologize to you guys.
I'm a little bit confused, so I would like you to restate where. So the CFO says there is only a $15,000 problem where?
The ED has now said that.
Okay.
Maybe
so
she left the throw off or something. God, I don't know. It sure seems like it's not very much of a deficit. I mean, a deficit from their point of view, saying that it's cost more than what it generates.
Okay. Well, when we were talking a little earlier, I was talking about the statement about not sending national directors to meetings, and then Chandra was speaking about not sending the coordinator to meetings. That's two different issues. I think we need to have a meeting with the executive director, not necessarily on stream, but to find out where she's at. And I think that, you know, we just need to get on the same page, and then we can, you know, either make accusations about what she says or not. But like right now, I think we've allowed too far, you know, too much time to elapse without talking to the executive director about this program. So I guess I'd like people to weigh in on that point.
I think I was.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that I understand the need to be very circumspect in your talking. However, we have had two or three different things come from our CFO. There are financial statements which come out, which when you look at them in comparison, he's sending them out. This is his word, and they don't jibe with each other. And there is no real explanation for this. And what is most upsetting to me is the lack of transparency in that nobody, and we have lots of accountants and people very familiar, we're not allowed to look at the books. And this is a most distressing situation for me. So now we have a CFO who admittedly believes that we should get the amateurs out of the business and let the professionals make the decisions. The ED and the CFO both believe this, telling us we can't meet as a board and these things aren't up for discussion. I think it's absolutely critical. One of the things about an in-person meeting, I didn't even know about the affiliates committee or the affiliates program or what the difficulties were with it until I met Ursula at a meeting. It's critical for people to know this, to know what the facts are, and to know who's telling what and who's not telling what before any other suspensions, decisions, or abrogations of bylaws are committed. People who are believing Lonnie, taking Lonnie at his word, I don't know which word they're taking, but one of them they're taking, this figure that Teresa has, and I believe Teresa to be absolutely truthful, the figure she's been given is in no way in any relationship to anything that's on the statements. Further, these programs are being dismantled, and it wasn't 3 months ago when the PNB was to meet in Houston that a couple of people went and worked hard at it to get a place that was less than half of what Lonnie finally decided to. Now, he either knew or didn't know there was a financial crisis 3 months ago. If he didn't know, well, shame on us for having him. If he did know, how come he went and spent all this money then? He spent enough extra at this last meeting to pay for the meeting in June. Now, why does he not want this to happen? It's clear that it's a disempowerment and dismantling of the board, and I don't think we should let it happen any more than we should let the affiliates program just go by because somebody doesn't want to pay for transportation.
This is Teresa.
Dina?
I'd like to ask Teresa.
Okay. I was going to say, what I see is an interesting pattern. They've disempowered the affiliates from the very beginning, when Ursula called an advisory board meeting, and Nicole stopped it, saying she wanted a 6-month delay.
Mm-hmm.
And she has put a stop on any outreach for the affiliates. And any growth for the affiliates, and then she cut the assistant. And now she's cutting the national board meeting. And that disempowerment just puts everything, it's not that it has stopped it, it's more than stopping it, it's disempowering it. And because there are so many people involved, it's very hard to pull it back together again. Which is exactly what they want. It's then they have the power because they're few. And she has used in conversations that what she likes about Amy Goodman is that there are very few people on her board. And so it's, you know, Amy can move very quickly, whereas we are bureaucracy and cannot move quickly. The question for us tonight is, while it's important to talk about what's going on with the PNB, I think it's more important that we talk about what the affiliates need to do immediately to gain our power back, and I think there are several things we can do. One is we need to put something in writing to the board, to the staff, to the, you know, all the stations, to the affiliate stations. We need to put everybody on notice. There is an affiliate, a GRC coming up in 2 weeks. It'll be something that they can discuss if they are given the facts. And they can determine as a group what it is that they want to, you know, how they want to proceed.
Right.
And we, as affiliate task force, can come back with information from easily 40-some-odd stations or more that attend GRC and get a reading on what direction they would like us to take.
Okay.
And so I would recommend that we put in writing or bullet in writing what is taking place so that they have something to work with, since that's the immediate and that's coming up. And that will help drive us because after all, we represent them.
Mm-hmm. Athea, this is Ursula. I'd like to get on the deck.
Okay.
I'm next on the stack, and then Ursula.
That's correct.
This is Teresa. I agree with what Dina says. I would like to say something, though. We cannot assume that some of these financial things on the national level are personal, conspiracies or an executive group that's making the decisions. I think the national board has to take control of that situation. But when it comes to finances and maybe some statements that were said about, you know, what staff can do and what, the executive director wanting people to pay their way, and whether that's an assumption that they shouldn't even be there at all, I'd like to say that if it's true that we are in a very, very serious financial situation and that there is a threat that we would have to consider bankruptcy as an option, and I hope that it's not true, to be haggling over some smaller issues would be like rearranging chairs on the deck of the Titanic. I mean, if we have a very, very serious financial issue, then
but Teresa, that's questionable. That's the whole thing that we're trying
moment,
to say.
Dina, you can go back on the stack, but you mustn't cut her off.
You're right. I apologize.
Well, that's why I think that definitely the national board needs to get a control on the financial situations, because I'm hearing two very differing stories, and I would like to assume good intentions on the part of our executive director and every member of the board. I've served on the national board, and sometimes I realize that, you know, everybody has good intentions, but somehow some people differ from you and they get their way. Dang, you know? So, I'm all for at this point Dina's suggestion, and I'm hoping that she'll put it in terms of a motion. Thank you.
Ursula, and then back to Dina.
Okay, thank you. I just would like to make a recommendation. I in listening to the suggestion you made, Dina. I guess the way I see it is that I feel that this committee has made, you know, good faith effort above and beyond to come to some sort of understanding with the CFO. And I think at this point, you know, the situation is kind of clear there. But in terms of the executive director, I kind of agree with what Teresa said earlier. I really feel that just for the sake of not adding more confusion to the mix, that it would be very important to speak to the executive director before making pronouncements, making public pronouncements. I think that speaking with the executive director would be a necessary step, just out of, for a variety of reasons, if nothing else, just to, not accidentally create confusion where there might not be one, might not be confusion. Or maybe there is, but at least I think that clarity should be arrived at.
Dana?
Well, I would make a motion that we invite the executive director to a telephone conference call no later than next week, because what date is the GRC?
The 25th.
That we direct a telephone conference call, that she give us three possible dates and times, and that it get emailed to the committee, and the most people who can come is the whoever's on that call. And so the second part of that would be that we, as a task force, write a letter to the national board telling them how we feel about the what has gone on since Greg Gumma left, in terms of that we feel we have a budget that supports attending conferences, that we feel we've been asked to, that we've been disempowered. All the things we've said earlier, I don't need to reiterate that. And that we demand a change of action, that we want the assistant back, which is part of our budget, that we want Ursula to be able to move to through different or plan that within the affiliate budget that she attend the three primary conferences that she's been attending in previous years, which is no burden to Pacifica whatsoever, and that it is part of her job, and that we write a second letter specifically to the affiliates informing them what's going on and asking them to direct the affiliate task force and what they would like us to do on their behalf.
Okay.
This is Ursula.
Go ahead, Ursula.
I do think, you know, there are affiliates that have been made it very clear that they do not want to deal with Pacifica politics, and that's almost kind of like a prerequisite for them affiliating. So I would recommend that some sort of step be put in place where there's a system of checking out whether an affiliate wants to discuss these issues or not, because it's a request that some affiliates make, that they not be approached about these matters.
Then I would could I speak, Afia? Having been at those meetings, I would suggest that there be a separate meeting for those who are interested. It wouldn't be part of the standard meeting that goes on at GRC with the affiliates, but that you set up a separate meeting specifically to discuss that letter. And that would relieve, that wouldn't be in contradiction to the reason you're there.
Madam Chair, this is the Secretary. That motion was not seconded, and I have to say it was a rather lengthy motion.
Could we break it into two parts?
There were three parts. One was to get the to have a telephone call prior to GRC with the ED.
Well, all we can do is ask for a call.
Request.
Yeah. Okay, so let's deal with them as three individual motions rather than trying to lump them all together. If there are no objections, then that's the manner in which we'll proceed.
Yes, because Madam Chair, we still don't have seconds on
the... Yeah, I'm sorry. Do we have a second on the first part regarding
second.
The budget?
I will second.
Okay. And, Dina, would you restate it?
That a request be made to have a telephone conference call with the executive director prior to July 26th.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Please.
First of all, it is a little odd to have a second before the motion was read, but I'm assuming it's seconded. I'm wondering if we would like to maybe put an earlier date on that, something like by the 17th of July, something like that, like one week from now or something like that. Or... And then the chair would try to set up that meeting. But right now, it's phrased, it says July 27th, right?
Well, I'll make it the 20th.
The 20th.
Right. The 20th. I amend it to be the 20th.
So it's by the 20th, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
And, Madam Chair, may I ask the motion person who made the motion to state just briefly again what's the purpose of that meeting? Or if anyone has any suggestions as to what the purpose of that meeting should be.
Clarification of a budget.
Okay. Do you want that as part of the motion?
Clarification of the affiliate budget. We don't want to get involved with all of Pacifica.
Madam Chair, I'm all for that. Perhaps we should poll people on this call to see what might be the best day for them to get on that call.
I think we'll have to work around the executive director's schedule.
Yeah.
And those that are available when she is will be on the call.
And we'll try and put out notice as quickly as we can so that whatever arrangement changes folk have to make to their schedule, that they can have as much notice as possible.
Madam Chair, I move the question.
Okay. Are there any objections to requesting, to the motion to request a meeting with the ED to be held by July 20th? For clarification of the affiliate's budget.
Yes, Madam Chair, you phrased it perfectly.
Okay. Are there any objections? If there are not any objections, then I think the record could reflect that it passed unanimously.
Madam Chair, can I perhaps take the liberty of reading what I think is the second motion?
Please.
This is what I wrote from it before. D. Colbert moved that as the task force write a letter to the National Board telling them how we feel about what has gone on since the ED Greg Guma left. And then it seemed to ramble on. So Ms. Colbert might want to change it from there.